This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Earlier in the program, I spoke with Republican State Senator Tom Casperson. He's pushing back against that State Board of Education proposal considering allowing transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms that match their gender identity. So the senator plans to introduce a bill to make that illegal without a parent's consent. And even then, trans kids couldn't use bathrooms if there's a chance anyone else is in them. He wants to see special unisex accommodations for trans students. We turn now to Amy Hunter. She's the Transgender Advocacy Project Coordinator for the ACLU of Michigan, and she is a trans woman. Amy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us from your work, Amy, how would these proposed guidelines help trans students?
Well, I think from my perspective, these guidelines are great. They provide a way that all students can feel comfortable and safe and have an enriching and affirming educational experience.
For the trans students and the LGBT students, I get that. But as I read a lot of the comments, I got to ask, if they're excellent, why is there such a huge backlash against these guidelines in the public comments?
Well, I think that there is a large gap in the ability of the general population to understand the differences between sexual orientation and gender identity and how that fits into our society as a whole. But what we know is that when kids are allowed to develop a healthy self-esteem, self-respect with their very natural intuitive sense of who they are as a person, that meaning their gender identity, that they fit in very well to society overall. Myself, for instance, I knew at a very young age that I was actually a woman. And because there was so little information about gender identity and what it meant to be transgender when I was a kid, I didn't have the opportunity to transition at an early age when I really knew already that I was different, so to speak. Had I had the opportunity to transition at a very young age, I think that I would have escaped some of the pitfalls that come with having such a deep internal conflict.
And, of course, those pitfalls can be life-threatening, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. You know, even myself and my story is not special in any way. You know, I struggled with, suicide ideation, alcohol and drugs. And, you know, I ultimately was able to rise above that. And today, you know, I live comfortably as who I always had been. So I want that for other kids, too.
Well, you having walked this journey, you are the perfect person, Amy Hunter, to respond to some of the comments. I was plowing through. There are well over 5,000 comments already filed at everyvoicecountsmi.org, and we will give folks that website before we're done. Let me get your reaction to some of these. Parent Tammy Barber says, why have the rights of straight children been thrown under the bus? Why are their rights less important?
That's kind of a misnomer to think that the broader population's rights will be infringed upon somehow. These trans kids really will just fit right in with the other kids. And we know that largely younger kids have absolutely no issue with this at all.
So it may be that, because I'm putting myself right in the shoes of myself as a 14-year-old. And let's say, Philip, who has been in my class and I've known since kindergarten, somewhere around 10th grade, decides that he is now Amy and wants to be in the locker room and in the bathroom with me. I think that would rattle me to my core, honestly.
Well, I'm sure that it would be a difficult thing initially. But one of the things that's happening more and more in the educational system is that districts, superintendents, the guidance staff are being provided with resources to help everyone understand what is happening. And I would like to just circle back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your hypothetical Philip didn't just decide to be Amy. This is something that has been at the very root of that person's being since they were very young. And they may have just reached a point where they understood that this was what they needed to do to transition to be an effective and authentic person.
But speaking of that, there is hot reaction in the public comments to the provision, the proposal that students decide what names and pronouns should be used for them at school and which bathrooms and locker rooms they want to use. And the student makes that call, perhaps without parental involvement. For instance, a father named Michael writes, "To remove parents from this process is criminal. These are minors, folks." And another parent says, "Kids who struggle with their general identity need to be guided by their parents, not school staff and administrators who think they know better." Again, these are from the public comments. What do you want people, Amy, to understand about this debate over parental consent?
Well, the best case scenario here is that the transitioning child lives in an environment, both a familial environment and an educational environment, maybe even in their faith community, that is one that is affirming. But what we do know is that around LGBTQ issues, and in particular around transgender issues, oftentimes the family environment is adversarial. So if the kid is likely to encounter great resistance from the family, particularly from the parents, then I think that the right to privacy for that kid probably trumps having to disclose the kid's wishes to transition at school.
Senator Casperson's comment regarding that is to suggest that would be a place to bring in the courts to protect that child. Your thoughts?
Boy, I can't really speak to the legal framework around that, but I know that there is a right to privacy, and to bring it into a legal arena where the kid is then sort of put at a tug of war between what they know is right for themselves and what the parents may or may not wish for that child becomes one, I think, that does further damage to that kid's ability to function both emotionally and spiritually and psychologically.
Amy, you've told us that many average citizens just don't know a lot about the struggles trans people face in our state. What do they need to understand, and where can they go to learn more?
The resources that are available are out there, and a good place to start is by going to GLSEN, GLSEN, has great information, particularly around kids in schools. Equality Michigan is a great resource here in Michigan. And, of course, they can contact me at the ACLU of Michigan.
So you welcome inquiries, you welcome
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
Here's your chance, Amy. What do you want to say directly to those people who are filing the public comments right now on this LGBTQ proposal?
I want to say to them, let's not jump to conclusions. Let's not make our commentary and make this an adversarial and particularly not a political issue. These are kids' lives whom we have a chance to help them become vibrant, authentic, contributing, healthy kids. And we can only do that by all working together. And, let's have a real conversation about this. Let's talk about this. Let's exchange our thoughts, our views. But most of all, let's make sure that we're all well-educated around all of the issues here, particularly around what is best for the transgender child.
The public comment period on the State Department of Education proposal has been extended to May 11th. You can comment by going to everyvoicecountsmi.org. We've been talking with Amy Hunter, Transgender Advocacy Project Coordinator with the ACLU of Michigan. Amy, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.